Genesis chapter 5 this morning. Genesis chapter 5. And we sing our songs, and pray our prayers, read the scriptures beforehand, before this time right here. Supposedly to worship, to prepare our hearts to worship. But somehow or another, the first few words of the message seem to get lost in the shuffle. I don't know why that is. That's generally the case. It may be because of what Paul said, principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places are at work to prevent men and women from hearing the gospel. And perhaps a preacher, an ambassador of Christ, who is a messenger of Christ with a message from God's word to the people, perhaps he ought to stand up at the very outset of every message and holler at the top of his lungs, "Hear ye, hear ye, thus saith the Lord." Because why are we here? We're here to worship God. We're here to worship God. Well, who is God? Who is God that I should worship him, like Pharaoh said? Who is it? What is he like? What's God like? Can God be known? Does God speak to men and women? Yes. And that's why we're here. We're here to answer these questions. And nearly every time we meet together, hopefully every time, we come to answer these very questions. And I say this with the utmost confidence, that those who are the most interested in hearing these answers are those who are here the most. We're here to know God, to find out something about God, to worship God, to hear from God. Now, there are many descriptions in the Bible of a true seeker. I've just been describing somebody who's really interested in knowing God. There are many descriptions in the Bible about a true seeker of God, a true believer, a true Christian, a child of God. He's called a seeker. "They that seek me," the Lord said, "shall find me when they search for me once a week." No, with all of their heart. They're called hungry and thirsty people. Not for this water, not for the bread of this world, but hungering and thirsting after a righteousness that they so desperately need. They're called disciples. Disciples or students or followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're following him. Disciples are those who sit at the feet of a master and listen very carefully and want to learn what the master has to say and follow his example. They're called not just hearers of the word, not just those who, like, and it was it in Ezekiel that came in and said he has a pleasant voice. Well, he's a good preacher or a good singer, but they don't do what he says. That's not one who's seeking God. They're not only hearers, but they're doers of the word. Lovers of God. Let's sum it all up by saying they love God, everything about God, and they want to know God. They want to know God. Now, in short, a believer, A child of God can be described as one whose greatest desire while he lives is like the Apostle Paul. When Paul said, "Oh, that I might know him," to know God. That's what this life is all about. Why? Because someday we will stand before, or either dwell with, or apart from this God who made us. Dust we are, to dust we shall return, and then someday to stand before the Maker, the Creator, the Ruler. Now, do you want to know God? You want to know who God is? You want to know what He's like? You want to be spoken to by God? You want to speak to God? You really interested? Huh? All right. Now, if that describes you, I've got a message for you this morning. I've got a message for you about a man. Just a plain old ordinary man. We're going to see this. He's just a plain old ordinary man like you and I. But God Almighty revealed Himself to this man in a special way. He revealed Himself to him. He spoke to this man. And this man actually walked with God Almighty. I'm not talking about just in some kind of mystical sense. I'm saying he walked with God Almighty. Actually walked, talked, and was spoken to, and knew God like we know a friend. Are you interested? Boy, I am. I am. If God can be known, I want to know Him. If God walks with people, and if I can walk with God, I want to do it. If God talks to some people, I want Him to talk to me. Don't you? That's why I'm here, folks. That's why I'm here this morning. Not to deliver a sermon, but to reveal who God is and what He's like to you. Now, look at Genesis chapter 5. Look at verse 21 with me. "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah," or had a son named Methuselah, "and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. And he was not, or ceased to be, or God took him." God took him. Now, does that spark your interest? Here's a plain old ordinary man, just like us. An old man at that, just like some of you. And he walked with God a long time. And one day he just up and walked into God's presence. Four things I want to show you in this message. Four things I want you to consider with me. First of all, I want us to look at the age or the time that this man lived in. And secondly, I want us to look at this man's state in life. So I'll tell you a little bit about what he did, what he was, his surroundings. And thirdly, I want us to examine this walk by this man, how he walked. And lastly, I want to look at where he ended up. All right, first of all, look at Genesis chapter 6. Here's the age in which this man named Enoch lived. Very much like our day. Strikingly like our day. Let's read it here, the first 7 verses of Genesis 6. "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, or every day. All he thought about was evil. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made man. So the time in which, now, we just described the time right up till Noah, but Noah now, Enoch, this man Enoch, was Noah's great-grandfather. So it wasn't at all unlike Enoch's day. The time leading up till Noah, men were the same, always have been. And this was an age of corruption and violence. Look at verse 11. The earth was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And like we read there in verse 5, only evil continually. All men and women thought about was evil. They lay on their beds and conjured up evil. When they got up, they practiced it. And they practiced it just as long as their bodies would let them stay awake. And then they went to sleep in a drunken stupor. And then they laid in bed and thought about it again and got up and did the same thing over again. Only evil continually. Sounds like our day, doesn't it? He said there were giants in the earth. Verse 4. Giants in the earth. And we're living in a day where, you know, we got some mighty giants. Men are getting bigger, aren't they? It's amazing how similar this is. And you know how giant men are. They like to throw their weight around. They like to prove their manhood. So he was living, Enoch was living in an age of corruption and violence, an age of strong men who prided themselves in their strength and their physical abilities, of beautiful women. It says there were the sons of God looked for the prettiest women, an age of where women were more concerned with their bodies than their souls. It was an age of sensual, corrupt desires, materialistic, violent, and wicked day. Sounds like 1992, doesn't it? That was the day that Enoch lived in. Look at Matthew chapter 24 with me. Matthew chapter 24. The day he lived in was also a very materialistic day. Very materialistic. A people that was consumed with the world and everything in it. And they had devoted their lives to accumulating possessions, houses and lands and this and that and the other, fleshly pleasures, very little time for God, very little thoughts of God. If they had had any thoughts of God, this wouldn't have happened that Christ said happened. If they'd been thinking about God, this wouldn't have taken them by surprise, or that is, the flood. They would have listened to the man who was preaching. He preached 120 years. Thing wasn't done in a quarter. Building of that boat, the preaching of the righteousness, the gospel, wasn't done in a quarter. Everybody everywhere heard of it, but no, they were too busy. They were too concerned with other things. And Christ said it's going to be that same, the same way in the day when he comes again. Verse 36, of that day and hour knoweth no man. Well, why don't they? The scriptures are full of warnings and gives us the time, the seasons. And Christ himself said up there, you ought to learn the parable of the fig tree. You ought to be able to discern some times and so forth. And Paul said to the Thessalonians, now that day is not going to overtake you as those that are in darkness. It shouldn't.
You're hearing the preaching.
But he says, of that day and hour, though, knoweth no man, or not very many anyway. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only, as the days of Noah were. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, right up till the time it started raining, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They didn't know. Most of them didn't know. Eight people knew. There's a little old church, Henry, meeting in a boat. Eight people were waiting. Waiting on the coming of God. So this was a materialistic age. They didn't have time for God. They didn't have time to think about God. Or the flood wouldn't have taken them by surprise. And that scripture there, Christ said to us, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. There's nothing wrong with these things. Only it's wrong when it takes you away from seeking God first. Seeking God first. So that was the day that Enoch lived in. Corrupt, full of violence, an age of materialism, materialistic. Now look back in chapter 4 with me of Genesis. It describes these people as being very clever. The people in this day were taken up with their technology. If you will. Look at verse 20. And it says, this man named Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. He was a farmer. He was a top-notch farmer, this fella. And his brother's name, Jubal. Jabal and Jubal. He was the father. There's a name for twins, if you ever have them. And he was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. Now, he was a musician. He studied under the musicians of that day, and he became quite skillful as a musician. And Zillah also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of artificer in brass and iron. He was an artisan. He was interested in art. Had farmers, musicians, artists, ingenious people, very clever about all the ways of the world. But I don't hear anybody talking about God. I don't hear any mention of a preacher. The most needful occupation among the day. Except the few. Said there were a few called sons of God. A few who called on the Lord before Enoch. But it didn't last long. Let me show you that. Look at chapter 6. There were a few that were religious. It said there were sons of God. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. But chapter 6, it didn't last long. Verse 2. The sons of God, or those who looked like sons of God. Are you with me? Those who said they were sons of God, believed God, followers of God, they saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they went after them. God's a whole lot prettier than any woman he ever made. But they saw the women, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And then God said, I'm going to cut him off. I'm not going to strive with him anymore. Evidently. And you surmise from this what I have? Evidently, these fellows, these so-called professing believers, sons of God, followers of God, became enamored with and taken up with beautiful young ladies who evidently didn't love their God. And these women took their hearts away from God, and they began to be taken up with and consumed with these ladies and forgot God. And if ever this was a picture of our day, this is it. How many times has our pastor warned, how many times over the years have our pastor warned young ladies not to get involved with unbelieving men or vice versa? How many times? Do you remember hearing that, Susan, growing up? Over and over again. How many young ladies have we seen? How many young men have we seen married, get enamored with, and taken up with some fella out there who could care less about God? Or some woman out there who could care less, and they're gone, aren't they? Supposedly they loved God. Supposedly they were seeking God. Supposedly they were believers. They were raised under a nice family, believing the gospel, and meet some beautiful girl or some nice-looking fella. Where is he or she? I thought they believed the gospel. Talking about apostasy here. Apostasy. Age of apostasy that he lived in. It's happened frequently. It happened. We just read it. Isn't that our day? I will thank God in high heaven if two or three of our young people remain on the sound of the gospel after they get married. I'll thank God with all I've got. If one, if two do, if three or four, we'll have a revival. Right? This just doesn't happen. It was an age of darkness. The day that Enoch lived in was an age of darkness. They didn't have a Bible. They did not have any Bibles. Enoch walked with God. We ain't got an excuse in the world, is it? They didn't have any churches. They didn't have any meetings. No preachers. No Bibles. And we live in the age of the Bible. Everybody's got five copies. We live in the Bible Belt, don't we? Good old Southern Christian folk, white folk at that. Bible-believing Christian. Why, it ain't so. You can tell people they got Bibles, but they don't read them, can't you? You can tell by their talk. By the script, their conversation's not full of the Scriptures, isn't it? It's I think. Their walk. You can tell by their walk. They look good on Sunday, but well, Saturday night you should have seen them. Well, that was Enoch's day. You follow me where I'm at? A day of corruption and violence, materialism, apostasy. People look good, but they turn from God. A day of darkness. Nobody was seeking God or resorting to God at all. That was Enoch's day, and that's our day. That was Enoch's day, and Enoch walked with God. And it's our day. And I want to walk with God. Well, let's look again here at Enoch's character. Look at chapter 5 with me. Look at verse 21. Let's look at a little bit about Enoch then. That's the day he lived in. Look at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. You catch that, Henry? He was 65 years old when he started walking with God. 65 years old before he thought about God. Now, that's remarkable. That doesn't happen very often, does it? Huh? What's this a picture of? Is this a picture? Is this story that we might admire Enoch? Huh? No. He was 65 years old before he even thought about God. This is a picture of grace. An old man, 65, I mean they're old when they get 60 or so. They don't think, an old man is set in his ways, isn't he? Set. You're not going to change him. Especially if he's got religious notions and whatever. And if he's been walking 65 years in this world with no thoughts of God, it almost seems impossible to him. Convert that man. God dealt with this man. That's a picture of grace. That it's never too late. Picture. And God finally dealt with this old man. And so even though he was set in his way, and Enoch was just a man, 65-year-old man, a real man, a son of Adam. He wasn't an angel. He was a son of Adam. And he lived in a sinful day, and he was a sinner. Enoch was a sinner, an ungodly man. Yeah, he was. He went 65 years. Abraham was too. Abraham was an ungodly sinner. He lived 75 years in idolatry. Moses for 40 years. Right? Men Just men. Enoch was a hell-deserving 65-year-old running to hell as fast as he could, man, sinner. Didn't think about God Almighty 1 minute. But God had mercy on this old boy. God granted him repentance and faith. Look at this. Enoch, he says he had a son named Methuselah and sons and daughters. That means he's married, doesn't it? Had to have a wife. He was married. 65 years old. He was married. He was a family man. Enoch found himself a little woman. Got his eye on a little woman like the rest of these people. And he settled down. Found himself the prettiest one, or at least the best cook. And settled down and got married and started raising a family just like everybody else. And he began to be taken up with his sons and his daughters. Old Methuselah, the apple of his eye. Loved that boy. And his sons and daughters and so forth. Taken up with him, making a living. Began to got him a job, worked real hard. Thought about his wife and kids when he came home from work one day or every day. He'd play with his kids until dark and then go to bed and wake up and go to work and do it all over again. God was not in his thoughts. God was not in his plans. But Enoch was in God's thoughts. Enoch was in God's plan. The scripture says, God who is rich in mercy. But God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved Enoch, quickened this old boy. Made him alive one day, somehow. It doesn't tell how this happened. But one day, I guarantee you, God opened this old boy's eyes to see himself, what he was doing, where he was headed. God opened this old boy's ears to hear something about God. God opened this old boy's heart to receive the Word of God, somehow. So how do you know that? How do I know that? Because God saves every sinner the same way. Yeah, he does. By grace are you saved, the scripture says, through faith. And that's not of yourself. Enoch just didn't up and one day said, hey, I'm going to start walking with God. He hadn't even thought of God. God thought of him. And God one day, Henry, said, you're going to walk with me. And he opened his eyes to see who God was, who he was, where he was headed. Opened his ears to hear the Word of God. He didn't care before. He had his ears. He was listening to the headphones of all kinds of music of the world and this and that and that. But God opened his ears to hear the gospel. Something he never was interested in before. And opened his heart to see his need of God. And Enoch, from that day forward, began to walk with God. You know how long he walked? You think we got it tough? You think we live a long, hard life? 300 years he walked with God in this corrupt and violent and wicked world, just like I was. I say, I don't know about you, but I say, I hope they shoot me when I get 60. Put me out of my misery and everybody else's. I don't want to live that long. I really don't. I may change my mind when I see my grandchildren come along and all that, but right now I can say I don't see how I'm going to make it another 35 years in this wicked world. God's promised us 70. I don't think I can make it. By His grace I will. Same way old Enoch did. 300 years. Enoch was a married man. Now, let me repeat this. There's no mention of his wife, is there? What I surmise from this is that Enoch's wife was an unbeliever. Now, this is the toughest trial a man or a woman ever has to go through in this life, a believing man or woman. Toughest. That's the reason I warn you unmarried young people. You don't know what hell is until you live with a hellion. You don't know what hell is until you live with somebody who hates the God you supposedly love. You don't know what trouble is going to be like until you come, if you love God, know God, and come here and worship God and have your heart filled full of joy, joy unspeakable, and go home and have that dude crash it all down in front of your eyes and mock your religion. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't even get married. Paul says don't get married until you find somebody that loves the same Lord you do. How can you? How can you? Well, Enoch was a married man, but that didn't hinder him. You remember when Christ talked about that parable of going out and bringing people into the marriage feast? No, the parable was Christ said, follow me. And one man said, well, I've bought me some property. I got to go see. I got to plow it today. Well, son, I got to plow. I can't get the crops in unless I plow it on Sunday. And another man, what did another man say? I'm married. I can't come to church. I can't walk with God. I'm married. My wife doesn't. I go down here with my wife. She goes down here to this church. But they don't know God down here. Well, she'll make her unhappy. Enoch walked with God. His wife didn't. He did. Now, thirdly, let's look at Enoch's walk very quickly. It says this twice. Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God twice. How did Enoch walk? What was his walk about? Well, it says he... There's a scripture that says, he that will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Only those who love God walk with God and not the world. You see, God was in Enoch's thoughts, not making a living. He did. He was an honest, hardworking man, I'm sure, and provided for his family, or else he would have been an infidel. But he was thinking about God the whole time he was hoeing. Or whatever. He liked to retain God in his knowledge. Unlike Paul said about the people in Romans 1. He liked to think about God. He liked it. He liked to think about God. His affections were set on things above, not on things on the earth. He was not uncomfortable being alone with God. I've said this so many times before. What do most people do when they go into a motel room, when they get into a strange city or what? Go into a motel room, the first thing they do, turn the TV on. People hate to be alone with their thoughts. Men and women can't be alone for a minute. Can't sit down and quietly read the scriptures and be alone with their thoughts. Contemplate, reflect, think. Why? Conscience starts bothering. Enoch liked to be alone with God. There's nobody he'd rather be with. What's wrong with you, Enoch? Why don't you? I'm just having too good of a time. He liked to be alone with God. And he only liked to be with those who liked his God. You know? He had no fellowship with those who didn't love his God. Why? He loved his God. You can't dwell with somebody who doesn't love your God. Not in any peace, anyway. He loved to think about God. He loved to talk about God. He loved to talk to God. He loved to walk with God. And he did. He did. Now, to walk with God means that you'll probably walk alone. You'll probably walk alone because there's not going to be many people out here in this where you're working that's walking with him. Like I said, it might not even be your bosom, the wife of your bosom or the husband. You may walk alone. You may walk for 40 years alone. But you're walking with God. You're walking with God. But if you walk with God, you will probably walk alone, or at least out in the world, you will. Because the scripture says there are few that are in this straight gate, in this narrow way. Few. Most of them are out there in the broad way that leads to destruction. And to walk with God and be a friend of God and be befriended by God means you cannot be a friend of the world. That's not my thoughts. That's God's word. He said, the friend of the world is the enemy of God. He said, he that loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why? Because the world doesn't love your God. I know that guy's real friendly and all. He's supposed to be a friend of yours, or she. But she doesn't love your God. And if we come out strongly enough about the God we love, we'd find out real fast whether or not they love us or not. Right? Yes, we would. You cannot, Christ said, you can't serve two masters. You'll either love the one and hate the other. You'll either give yourself totally to the one or the other. God and mammon can't do it. And I love this woman over here. I'm married to her. She's got my name. She bears she signed something the other day, Mrs. I signed something the other day, Mrs. Paul Mahan. Hannah said, that's funny. Her name's Mindy. I said, no, it's not. It's Mrs. Paul Mahan. She's got my name. We're one, you see. If anybody's going to be mentioned, it's me, right? I'm the head in this relationship. There's no clearer picture of a believer than marriage in the Scripture. The marriage of Christ with His bride. And the two become one. And we take His name, right? And if anybody's going to be mentioned, He is, right? We're Christians. I'm not Paul Mahan. I'm a Christian, disciple of Christ. Okay? Now, you cannot hate my wife and love me. Impossible. If you do hate my wife, I'm not going to like you very much. Right, Stephen? If somebody doesn't like your wife and goes out spreading stories, and refuses to have anything to do with your wife, but he says, she says, they like you real well. You're fine enough and dandy. Well, you're not going to like that person, are you? It's either love me, love my wife. I think that's love me, love my dog, isn't it? Love me, love my kid. Love me, love what's mine. Right? Love me, love my God. Right? You love me, you're going to walk with me. We're going to walk together. How are we going to walk together except we be agreed? Huh? Now, I'm walking with God, or am I walking with you? He's headed this way. I'm headed this way. How are we going to get together? Except, now he ain't going to come to me. He might come every now and then, sit in church and go with me, but just long enough to pacify me a little bit. But what's going to happen in order for us to walk together? I'm going to have to walk with him. Right? He's not going to come with me. Unless God Almighty turns his path and heads him the same way that he headed me. Right? That's the way he did me. Love me, love my God. The world hates God. Yeah, they do. The carnal mind, Paul said in Romans 5:8, is enmity against God. Hates God. This, you prove this by their love of self. Love, turn to Jude verse 14. Look at the book of Jude. Do you know that Enoch prophesied of this? Enoch came out strongly about his God, and Enoch walked alone. He didn't have any friends because they didn't like what he had to say about the sovereignty of God. You know that? Look at it. Jude 14. Next to last book in the New Testament. Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these false prophets and so forth, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against. Enoch spoke out about the lordship of Christ, about man's sinfulness, and God's coming judgment, and their need to repent and come to Christ. So Enoch walked with God and not the world. With God. Secondly, Enoch walked as a child of God. Enoch walked as a child of God. He believed everything that his father said. It's the reason I really don't want to see my child grow up, get any older. John, when they get a little older, they start going their own way, don't they? Used to, they liked to walk hand in hand with Daddy. They used to like to be seen with Daddy, didn't they? They used to be proud of Daddy. Everything Daddy did was good, right, John? Everything Daddy said was right and true. Because Daddy is Daddy, and Daddy loves me. And Daddy would never say anything to hurt me. He's my father. He knows more than I know. He's stronger than I am. He'll help me. He'll protect me. Daddy would never say anything to hurt me. And they get a little older, and they begin to question Daddy. But Daddy hadn't changed. But Enoch was a child of God, and he thought, my father knows best. And whatever my father says is right. It's true. Even though it's hard, it's true. Whatever my heavenly father says, Enoch agreed to it. He agreed to it. He thought his father was wiser than him. He never questioned God. He thought his father was stronger than him. He knew his heavenly father was holy, just, righteous in all his way. And he knew for a fact that the judge of the earth will do right, whatever he does. And he said it to others. And he boldly believed in this holy, sovereign God. And that's what he said there in Jude 14 and 15. And also, Enoch sought to please his father. The scripture says, and walk worthy of the Lord unto all well-pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. It says this, to walk in wisdom toward them that are without. It says this, to walk worthy of God, the vocation wherein you're called. It says this, Enoch sought how to walk to please God. Enoch wanted to please the God he said he loved. Now, turn back a few pages to Hebrews 11. Enoch, yeah, he did. Enoch sought to please God, but he did it the right way. He didn't do it like our generation says that you can please God. He didn't do it by his walk. Let's look at it. Hebrews 11. Look, how can one walk to please God? How can you? Look at Hebrews 11, verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5. And it says, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Nobody could find him. He just walked into heaven because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You mean because he lived a good life? No, I said he lived 65 years in sin and unbelief. Well, how did he please God? Well, look at verse 6. Don't stop there. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that comes to God, he that wants to walk with God, he that will be spoken to by God or speak to God or be approved or accepted by God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him or walk with him. He is. That God is. God is what? Holy. Just. Just. God is just. He will by no means clear the guilty. That God's Son is he. Is God. Is God's only way of acceptance. You think I'm bringing too much out of this? Oh, no. Enoch knew the only way he could approach this holy God was through a mediator, through an intercessor, through the righteousness of another, not his own. He'd been a sinner for 65 years. He knew God wasn't just going to say, well, let God bygones be bygones. Well, forgive and forget, you know. Come on, Enoch, let's walk. No, his sins had to be paid for. And he had to have a blood sacrifice to pay for it.
And he couldn't do it. He knew to be loved by God, to be accepted by God, somebody else was going to have to be approved by God, not him. He made a mess of things. To be received by God, to walk with God, he was going to have to be holy. Right? And he couldn't. You say, didn't Enoch know all this? Did he?
Sure he did.
Sure he did. Christ said, no man cometh unto the Father, but how? By me. That means from Adam, if Adam knew God, to the last one who lives on this planet, no human being is going to walk with God or be walked with by God or talked to God or be spoken to by God or approve of God or be approved of by God except through Jesus Christ. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Isn't that what Christ said? Job, the oldest recorded book in the Scriptures, Job said, Job knew Christ. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And so did Enoch. Enoch heard of the woman's seed, guarantee you. He heard of the woman's seed. He heard of God killing that animal and shedding its blood and wrapping his great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam and grandmother in that skin. And then telling them, you're going to have a sacrifice, you're going to come before me. He knew of Abel's sacrifice. He heard about that story, about how that Esau was rejected. Why? He did the best he could. He heard that. But he heard that old Abel was accepted. Why? He brought a lamb. He brought blood. Enoch heard about that. And Enoch walked with God by faith. How? Faith in God's lamb. Faith in God's Son. Faith in God's salvation. God's salvation. And Enoch walked by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, he did. You can't walk with God apart from walking in Christ by faith. Now let's look at his walk real fast, or his end, I mean, where he ended up. Look back at the text in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, and I'll let you go. Look at the text. It says here, and Enoch walked with God, verse 24, and he was not. He was not. He died daily. Every day. Enoch died. You say, no, he didn't. He lived. No, he died. Enoch was not. A believer. I'm crucified with Christ, walking by faith in Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I. I'm not. I am not. He is all. I am nothing. You see, when God saves a man, he realizes he's not. He's a nothing. He's a nobody. He's fit for nothing but to burn. He's a dead man. He needs to be put in the grave. The only one God will look at is Christ. If you're going to live before God, it's going to be by faith in Christ. Enoch walked with God, though, it says, and he was not, for God took him. One day he got up. He got up one day and told his wife, I'm going for a walk. Where are you going? I don't know. I'm just going to walk. If you like walk, it's a beautiful morning. Go down and get the paper and take a little walk. And she said, well, who are you going with? God. Oh, you old fanatic, you. Go on. It's chores to be done. I'll get them later. First fruits of the morning, go to my God. He went down for a walk one day, Steve. And he just walked into heaven. They found his shoes on the road. Now, you know the wonder of this. I didn't say that. The wonder is not, it says, he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. What amazes you about that? The fact that the man just walked up into heaven? Is that amazing? Whoa, wow, whew, man. You know what amazes me, Sam? God took him. Here's this sinner.
a man.
And God said, come on up here. God took him as he was, just as he is, a man. God took him, the holy, righteous, sovereign God who dwells in light which no man can approach unto, said to that old family man, 365 years old, walking along that dusty road, come on, come on up here. I've seen you righteous. That's our study for tonight. How was Enoch considered righteous? Why was Enoch accepted? He walked by faith in Christ. Right? He walked. His day was a corrupt, wicked day, no less so than ours, no more so than ours, full of violence. He was a married man, an old man, but he was seeking God. Thank God, God had sought him first. He loved God because God first loved him. He started walking with God by faith in the midst of his generation. And how did he walk? How is it to walk by faith? It's to walk with Christ. To walk believing, trusting, looking to, depending upon, studying, following, seeking, discipling Christ. To win Christ. Oh, that I might know him. The power of his resurrection. To win Christ and be found with him. Study Christ. And he walked with God. He was not. God took it. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I want to walk with God by faith in Christ. Jeanette, come up here and let's sing as a closing hymn.